Oh, how do you get your sales up when you don't have any more salespeople or without hiring any more salespeople? We're talking about automating the sales marketing process a little bit, what we can do about that. Hi, everybody. My name is Bill Gallagher, scaling coach, host of the Scaling Up Business Podcast. We're here every week with a new show for you. I'm excited about it. I think everyone's interested in this one. If you want to find, you know, we've been doing it for some years now, so we've got hundreds and hundreds of episodes. You'll find them wherever you get this, wherever you're watching or listening to this right now, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, LinkedIn. They're posted all over there, or go to scalingcoach.com. Scalingcoach.com has pretty much all our back shows and then more. If we can help you find a coach, we'll do that there. All that at scalingcoach.com. All right. I'm joined now by Andy Biting. Andy's a fellow coach in our world. He's also a marketing expert, Carly Publishing CEO. He's got a lot of things to share. He's got a new book out now in the world of sales marketing. We're going to talk about that and more. How do we get our sales up without hiring more salespeople? Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here. Exciting. I always love your intro music, by the way. It always gets me going. Like, I just enjoy listening to it. I know you're going to be in for something good. Love it.
I'm working on new music to go with the new branding, but that's a step. Nice. We've got somebody, a producer, doing new music for us now, so we'll see how that goes.
Very good.
Well, I'm excited to get into this. Before we get into like the core idea here, give people a little bit more background again. Remind folks, because they maybe haven't listened or don't remember the time when you've been on before.
Yeah.
But talk about your background in business and how you came to be a coach and how you came to write this book.
Sure. I mean, for myself, Bill, I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I it's funny. I've never held a real job ever in my life. So, I was in family business at a young age, and then working with my dad. But then I started my own business when I was 19, making some real money, and went through university and never looked back since. Had some ups, had some major downs as well, but not dissimilar to what a lot of entrepreneurs have seen. Over the years, so I've been involved in a lot of different industries, and but in 2009, 2010 is when I started doing, after being a Scaling Up client for many years. Les Rabinovich was my coach for, I think, 5 or 6 years, scaling up my previous business. And then I thought, you know, I've always been a learning junkie. That's what I call myself. If you're going to be addicted to something, it's not a bad one to be addicted to. And during that transition time, Les said, why don't you come on down and get certified and bring this to your part of the world, which is Eastern Canada. And at the time, there were no scaling up coaches down this way. So I became certified scaling up coach, which I've always kept. I started a marketing company you alluded to called Carly Publishing. We have rebranded to Tulip Media. So it's Tulip Media now. And I'm into real estate development as well. So a lot of balls in the air, lots of fun going on, never a dull moment.
Well, so then, so why this book? What is it that brought on this latest thing?
So yeah, the latest book is Double Sales, Zero Salespeople. And so I'll tell you the story, and we call it the Great Pivot of 2019. So we were growing the business, we were growing Tulip Media, and it had been going for about 5-6 years at this point in time, growing rapidly. But then it kind of plateaued. The sales kind of plateaued. And it was interesting because we were doing custom publishing and we were getting into a lot of digital marketing at the time, but we were still selling with an old sales model. So I was inspired by a good friend of ours, you know, Patrick Condon in Denver. So Patty, you know, I heard his story and he inspired me of what he did with Finished Basements. And so long story short, I left a conference where he shared his story. And I came back and talking with my main two key partners. And I said, look, there's a better way of doing this. We've got to do this a different way. And I remember it took about 2 months for us to plan it all out. And I wanted to transition from an old sales model where we were smiling and dialing. We had 7 people on the phone, a sales manager, you know, an expensive sales team, just posting hundreds of phone calls a day, pay time activities. We were tracking demos. We were tracking this, that. We were tracking everything on Salesforce and the dashboards up in the office and everything. And it was so expensive, the way that we were trying to grow the business. And I knew there had to be a better way. And at the time I called it, you know, we need to automate our sales process. We need to have an automated sales process. Anyway, we strategized for a couple of months. And then I walked in one May afternoon. And I actually did what a lot of people, you know, the unthinkable. And it was probably one of the hardest things I had ever done, is I let the entire sales team go in one fell swoop. Not one meeting. I did do it individually, but in one afternoon, within a couple of hours, the entire sales team was let go. So big shift. And we, at that time, we were just going into our quarterly planning session. And, you know, I'd made the decision, had the conversations, brought the rest of the team in, shared with them what I had just done. And they said, you know, I said, it wasn't working the way it was. And we needed to switch. We needed to change it up. Just so happened, we were going right into a quarterly planning session. And that was the depth of the conversation. You know, that was the heavy lifting of the conversation. And it was interesting. So I shared with them the vision. You know, I said, we want to use technology to automate a big part of the sales process. I don't want to work off prospecting lists and making cold calls and cold emails and all these things. I want people to come to us. When they talk to us, it's because they want to talk to us, not when we've cold called them. And I remember we were setting our quarterly sales target. And I said, we're going to keep it the same. And I remember a right-hand person said, Andy, don't set us up for failure. Like, very adamant, quite upset. And I said, no, trust me, trust me. We had just brought in a student intern who was a marketing student who just thought differently. I said, we're going to work with this young gentleman and we're going to just put everything on its head. Whatever we've done before, like, we're going to just really change things up. Anyways, we're 2 days into the quarter. We have the planning session. And wouldn't you know it, that quarter, within about 2 weeks of the end of the quarter, it was the first time we hit our sales target in about 18 months with no salespeople. So it was, that's where it all started. And then we started getting really good at this selling thing and, you know, started tweaking it and optimizing it. And, you know, we hired a couple of people, more people, and, you know, we just kept optimizing and tinkering with the model. And then when we were sharing it with some of our client partners, they were saying, you know, Andy, whatever you did for yourself, that's what we want you to do for us. And that's when it became a whole program that our company started, you know, delivering for client partners all over North America. But that was a really interesting pivot in 2018. Yeah.
Well, looking at it as an assembly line, as something reproducible, is a different path to scaling, really, than just hiring more people, right?
Yeah. So the whole methodology, and in the book, we talk about, you know, the business development assembly line, and the whole term we coin as smarketing, and it's the integration of sales and marketing into one business. Smarketing. Smarketing is the integration of sales and marketing into one business development assembly line that works. And so what I challenge people with is actually Justin Rothmarsh, he wrote a really good book called The Machine. And it talks about how, and I really got a lot of inspiration from that book. And it talks about like building, he didn't use these words, but the way I look at it and the way I interpret it is that you're building a business development assembly line. And if you picture Henry Ford's assembly line in the, you know, the last century, he didn't invent the automobile. What he invented was the assembly line that democratized and made the automobile affordable for everyone, right? Yeah. He made it more effective, more cost effective to assemble and to build an automobile. And what he did with the assembly line is that there were several stations, and each station, it was a technician that got really good at that station. You know, maybe one of them is, you know, laying out the chassis and preparing it for the engine to be dropped onto. And then the, you know, somebody else is all taking, is taking care of the wheels and the drive shaft and the axles and everything else. Instead of being one craftsman that did all of that before, from assembling the raw materials to actually putting out an automobile, he did this assembly line with several dozen people that would be in their station optimizing that station, and together they made a really efficient machine. Well, with sales, it's very much the same way, because our company, Bill, was very much like a lot of companies. You know, look at your own sales team. What do you have them doing? A lot of salespeople, what are they accountable for? Well, they're accountable for researching new leads, for reaching out to those leads, trying to book that first call. Once they have their first call, doing an introductory session or call with that prospect, you know, teaching them about your company, learning about theirs. Then they follow up with them and learn about what their needs are right now. And then they might do a demo, and then they might do this and this, all the way to closing a sale. But if you spend any time with salespeople, you know some people are great door openers. Others are great researchers. Others are really good at nurturing that relationship, while others are better at closing. Like they just have different skill sets, right?
Yeah.
So in the machine, in the book, they talk about, why not have people, you know, if somebody's really good at closing, that's a high value activity. What if you had them actually closing most of the time? And it, I think it's in the book where they said, you know, they surveyed hundreds of salespeople saying, how much time do you actually spend selling? Now, the definition of selling is when you're actually conversing with someone. It's a two-way conversation. You're actually communicating with someone. And they figured it was roughly 7% of the time on average. Now, if you're paying a good salesperson $100,000 a year, let's say, to sell products, and only 7% of the time they're actually doing what you're paying for, there's a 93%.
There's a lot
of waste of time.
It's interesting. Today, I don't do any outreach at all in our world, right? The core of our business, we have the show and we do some events, and then the coaching business. The coaching business and the events are pretty much all filled from response-based things. There's no, like, we're not working lists or that kind of thing. There are programs like this and things like that that build that awareness. There are referrals from existing clients, but it's all like that. Talk to us about, tell us the story about Metalfab. What's that company? What do they do? You know, like, tell us that story.
Yeah. So Metalfab is a great story. So Metalfab, they're a manufacturer of fire trucks. They're like my dream job when I was seven, right? That would have been awesome. So they manufacture fire trucks. So they came to us at the beginning of the pandemic because all of a sudden they were in a panic because all of the trade shows and conferences were all closed, like just bang, disappeared. And that was their primary source of leads. That's where people went to learn about the fire engine industry, to learn about the new technologies, to talk to manufacturers, to ultimately ordering a fire truck. And they came to us in a panic because they didn't know how else to do it. They'd never done it any other way. And they would spend a lot of money, you know, well north of six figures to you know, on conferences and trade shows. So we worked with them, and they said, as the owner puts it, Gordon Green, good, wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And he said, look, you're bringing us in. He said, you know, we were back in the 19th century, the way we were marketing and selling. He said, we're not just hitting the 20th century, but you're bringing us into the 21st. So they had never done any kind of form of marketing at all. The website was something that one other team members, you know, somebody in the office put together on one of these preformed, you know, website template programs or platforms. And so what we did was we got together and we strategized with them. And what we did was we used a mixture of what was right for them, mixture of pay-per-click advertising. And what we did was we used pay-per-click advertising and SEO, like with content marketing advertising, as a way to bring people onto the website. And then Tula Media, we're one of only two companies in Canada that are Story Brand certified. Don Miller has a process called Story Brand, and it's a really good process for getting traffic onto your website, you know, weeding out the unqualified and having the people that are qualified take action. It's really, really effective. It is a science. It's not an art form. It is more of a science than anything to get people to actually take action. And so we use that to get them leads. And then we reinforce that with a quarterly printed newsletter that would actually be sent out to these fire stations across the country and Canada here, as well as down through New England where they sell into. But the really interesting thing is we thought, okay, let's get into the psyche, going through the Story Brand methodology and building out what we call a brand script. What is in the psyche of the buyer? Now you have to think, Metal Fab focuses on smaller, more rural fire stations. They often have, on average, 2 to 3 trucks, right? Each truck lasts about 20 years. So at the end of the day, the average fire chief is ordering a new truck every 7 to 10 years, not often. This is they have to reteach themselves how to buy a fire truck every year. So when we looked at it, we got into the psyche of the buyer. A fire chief, what they're motivated by is they don't want to mess up. That's a big one. They don't want to make a bad purchasing decision. They want to do what's right for their community because they're spending tax dollars. And, you know, a fire truck can run $750,000 or $1 million easily. So they're not small purchases. And they're worried about that they're going to miss something, that they don't do it right. These fire chiefs may have only been a part of writing 1 or 2 RFPs in the past. So what the strategy was is we positioned Metal Fab as a resource to learn about the new technologies and how to write an RFP, which is great because when you can influence an RFP, they get the business over 50% of the time. When they're going in and quoting, submitting a proposal on a cold RFP, the success rate was 10 to 15%. So we position them as a resource for writing RFPs and for the learning about the new technologies. So all the content that we created, all of the material that we created, the story branding, the story flow or the customer journey through the website was all around that fire chief that is buying a new truck in a year's time or needs to place an order in the next 6 months and needs to learn how to do it again, reteach themselves. So that has been, that worked really well. And getting involved in conversations much earlier. And again, like us, you know, when somebody reaches out, we don't have salespeople, neither does Metal Fab. But when they reach out, they talk to the production people, they talk to the designers, they talk to the people that will get them excited about the fire truck, about the learning about the new technology, you know, how to write an RFP. So they became a resource for those fire chiefs by talking to somebody in production that's not a salesperson. As soon as you talk to a salesperson, defenses go up. You talk to a production person, they get excited about the product. So they're talking to a production person and they're learning about the new technologies, what works in, you know, the regions that they serve. And they're given a template and lots of resources on how to write an RFP with no expectations to ever get the business. But these fire chiefs are using it and using it as their template when they do go to tender, which has been a key to success. So the really interesting thing, they were really worried about what was going on, with COVID and everything else. And long story short, I think their lead time right now on orders is 2.5 years out.
That's pretty long lead time, right?
And we even came to them and said, the gentleman's name is Ryan that we work with. And our marketing person, you know, said, I spoke with Ryan and I showed him how we can generate more leads. And he said, no, our manufacturing facilities can't handle more business. Like we cannot just leave it as it is. We don't want to turn it off. Leave it as it is. Don't crank it. Crank up the engine at all.
Well, it's interesting. I think about the same thing. I'm sure others will, but I immediately translate, okay, when you engage us, when you attend one of our things, we don't have a sales team. So you talk to me. I'm like, I want to know what your goal is, like the biggest, longest out there goal you could imagine. And then I want to understand your gap, like why you're not doing it on your own, why you're looking for a coach or a system or a framework or like that kind of thing. And then I'm like, can I help this person? Mm-hmm. Well, I think I could help you with this, this, and that. I hear that. I think I understand it like that. And immediately, and at that point, we're actually already helping them. I'm like, okay, we're going to keep working this way. And, you know, there's usually sort of a good, better, best, which it translates to fast, faster, fastest, really. Like we can get more results faster by working at an accelerated pace. And there's kind of some pricing levels. What level of expense and speed are you comfortable with?
Yeah.
Are you hungry for, right? And then we end up doing it. But it, that's not like a separate person doing the selling. It's somebody in there just like translating that need and gap into an opportunity for someone. And then it's natural, right? There's not like, let me twist your arm a little bit, close it this quarter because I got to make my quota.
Exactly. And same as when somebody, so with Tula Media, we use all automated, all digital marketing. Literally the first time we hear from a prospect or first time we engage with them is when they typically booked a meeting in one of our calendars. And they talk to a production person. And the first, you know, usually it starts with a quick phone call to qualify, to see if there's a fit for us, you know, what we do for them. And, you know, if there's a fit there for us for both ways. And even in that first phone call, you know, the general instructions are, you know, to spend the first 20, 25 minutes learning about their business, learning about where they want to grow. You know, they want to grow by $4 million next year, you know, which represents, let's say, their $10 million business, want to grow by 14 to 14 million next year. How are they going to get there? And what, you know, how are they going to fill that gap? And is their current marketing going to get them there? What is that gap? And then, like you, very easy decision once we get to understand their business, their audience, what it is that they're trying to sell. And we say no to a lot of people, but we can very quickly see and say, yeah, you know what, we can help you get there if you're interested. And you know, then we can show you what we can do, but then we can tailor a solution to what their needs are. And again, you know, when they do that, they're talking to one of the digital marketers. They're not never talk to a salesperson because there's no salespeople here.
Yeah. Well, don't get us wrong. We're not against salespeople. At least I'm not. I think there's a real honor in that work, especially if you see it as you're the conduit helping people to connect their needs and wants to what the company's able to do to help provide that go-between. But if you're thinking of it in the manipulative sense, we're not super for that. Give us the other example. You've got a couple more, but talk to us about Waypoint Insurance and how that works and what's happened there.
Yeah, so there's a great example. I'm glad you brought up about the salespeople, Bill, because I am, I'm not against salespeople. If for us in our business, sometimes I'll recommend that, you know, really the people that should be talking to the prospect is the production people, but sometimes it is salespeople. And in the insurance space, as an example, we've done a lot of business with insurance agencies over the years. But so one of our early clients that took on the program fairly early is a company called Waypoint Insurance in Vancouver, Canada. And, you know, we helped them. They would needed help with their digital marketing. So we got in there and we did a similar kind of approach, but, you know, we did the story branding of the landing page and of their website. And by the way, that's akin to, you know, if you're opening up a retail storefront, you know, the first thing you do is you set up the space, put up your shelves, merchandise well, you clean the store, train your staff and sweep the front doorstep, and then you invite people in. That's what story branding your website is doing, is it's setting up your storefront online, but it's setting up your storefront so you can invite people in. Most people who think about digital marketing think about pay-per-click or this or that, trying to get traffic. But if the traffic goes to your website and they don't like what they see, they're going to leave and they won't come back. So with Waypoint, we set up their website so that it was properly storybred. It did inspire, you know, for people to take action, clear call to actions on them. And then we also, there as well, we leveraged pay-per-click, we leveraged content marketing to bring people on, different audience, different strategy, different types of messaging, but still, you know, really spent some time on keyword strategy and learning about that market in that area, because a keyword strategy can differ depending on the city or town you're located. And with very specific messaging around the type of business that they wanted to go after. Now, the interesting thing with Waypoint is one of the first insurance agencies we did. But the first, you know, we always say it takes 3 months to really get going. After 2 months or so, they were starting to see some traction. By the time the third month come along, their numbers really started to take off. And in the first 4 months, you know, they increased their website, the conversions by over 150%. And I remember we were about 4 or 5 months into it. And I know we got a call from our key person at Waypoint and said, I had some good news and some bad news. And we were like, uh-oh, what's going on? Well, the good news is the campaign's working. The bad news is I need to hire 2 more salespeople to keep up with the leads you're sending us. So, well, that's a good problem. Just, yes, it is. So now they've actually increased by a few more salespeople to be able to handle the inbound leads. And what was interesting is, so they've opened up some new offices and they've used this strategy, and we'll do very focused, concentrated campaigns in that marketplace, in that tiny town or whatever it might be. These guys are all over Vancouver Island and spreading into mainland Vancouver as well. And every time, you know, we got it to the point where we can, with their pay-per-click campaign, wherever we target and the spend, we can ratchet up or ratchet down the number of leads that'll come in that week, or almost on a week-to-week basis with a little, you know, about a week or two lag time. But it's incredibly powerful. And so then, as you know, right now is the big challenge that a lot of businesses have is the war for talent. So just recently, just maybe 6 months ago, 4 or 6 months ago, she said, we need to redirect this because we need to hire more producers, the salespeople. And so we actually ran campaigns to hire producers with a landing page to hire people who, you know, to basically get people into selling insurance. And that's been very successful. So they've been able to fill their back. Yeah. So it's more... It's kind of internal marketing outside, but it is to bring employees in. As
well, you know, to connect it to our world and our clients. So we don't talk about this a lot, but what does your customer need and want? I know that people come to us with really two problems. One of them is they're trying to handle the growth. So the company's growing and they want to sustain it, hang on to it, survive it, right? Because growth can kill you. So that's the first and most burning thing. That's probably the majority. And then a smaller number, but still significant number, want to get growing. So they were growing and then they stopped growing and they're trying to regain the growth. But those are really the two problems. There's nothing else, right? That's it. Now, it shows up in different places and they have problems within it, like getting growing or managing growth could be, I need to find more people. Mm-hmm. And that could be the problem in the moment. But that's within the larger concept of managing or hanging on to growth, surviving the growth, right?
Yeah.
And then there's what can we do for them? What do we make possible? That's where your brand promises live. How you work or your differentiating activities, the things that you do distinct from what are you good at and not good at, then gets into our attribute maps. Our service attributes and what we're choosing to focus on in our brand promises. But you think about all of those kinds of things, that's where I think, just to translate for our listeners who are familiar with scaling up, what we're tying into.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so, you know, if somebody wants to, you think about your audience, you know, with your own business and you're wondering, okay, how do I unlock the potential? And, you know, in scaling up, we talk a lot about core customer. You have to understand your core customer and you have to understand it at a deeper level than even what, you know, it is outlined in scaling up. You need to understand, you know, I know Bob Bloom talks about understanding their fears and their wants and their needs and so on. And you need to understand that at a deep, deep, deep level, to the point where, you know, with story branding methodology, they talk about what is the problem? You know, what is the problem your customers are trying to overcome? Now, start with what is the problem? And most often, that's the external problem. That's the problem that it looks like to most people. Then what is the internal problem? That's where you really connect with people. So I'll give you an example. You know, with Tulip Media, we always said, well, the challenge we help our clients with is competing in the marketplace. So the problem is obviously their competitors. Well, no, it's not actually. When you think about it, somebody wants to grow their business. You know, the competitors are always there. The problem in beating the competitors is that marketing is difficult. Marketing is confusing and it's hard to do. So the external problem is that it's not so much the competitors, it's the company's ability to leverage effective marketing to beat the competitors, to do it better than the competitors so that they can gain market share. Now, where you really strike a chord is when you look at what is the internal problem? What is the person feeling? That's where core customer is not, you know, female 39 to 44, blah, blah, you know, that's a demographic that good to know. You need to know that. But what are they feeling? And when you tap into their feeling, so with us at Tulip Media, the way we look at it, and this is in our narrative, this is what we talk about, and it works, is that, you know, marketing is confusing. It's overwhelming. And most of us don't even know where to start. That's the internal problem, right? Because now you're tapping into either the marketing manager or the CEO, you're tapping into their fear that they're going to be left behind because they don't understand marketing like others do. And we actually call the villain in story brand speak, the villain is not the competitor. The villain, we say, we're putting a label on it, but the villain is Google. Google, you know, if you're going to be marketing online, you need to understand how Google works, how their algorithms work, how it thinks, how it processes, how you get to the top of the list when your competitors don't. And that's the villain. And the internal problem is that it's confusing. It's overwhelming. People don't know where to start. And you know what? Nor should you. That's not a problem at all, because your expertise, what makes you good at what you do, is because you're really good at servicing this type of client or manufacturing this type of product. You know your business like no one else. You don't have to understand, you know, just like I never suggest a CEO go out and become a tax specialist. You hire a tax specialist for that. Don't become a marketing specialist.
And it changes, right? Like Google's, the way Google works, how you optimize is always changing. So you've got to stay on top of it. It's not something you learn once and do forever. It's a highly dynamic kind of a world. We'll talk more about how you got the ad spend down at Homestead Road.
So that one there, we started working. Homestead Road's an amazing company out of Minnesota, and they're a fantastic company. The company buys houses. Like, let's say your parents pass away, and I love the story. Your parents pass away, or your mom's the last surviving parent, and she passes away, and it's really hard to, you know, to sell off the house. You know, it's an emotional time. They'll come in and they'll buy the house from you. They'll help you, you know, put everything, you know, ship everything and distribute all the contents, and they'll make it a really, really heartwarming, memorable experience. And they're an amazing company. What they do is incredible. And there's so many good news and so many feel good stories that come from their clients and their customer base. So Homestead came to us, and Andre came to, the owner came to us and initially wanted to publish a magazine, which we did. We published a custom magazine and had something quarterly to distribute to their customers, to, you know, to prospects, to people on their mailing list, as a way to really encourage referrals, because a lot of their business comes from referrals. But they also do a lot online with digital marketing, because when you think about it, in that business – you know, if you were in a situation where you needed their services, you probably haven't been in that situation before. You're in that situation once or twice in your lifetime. That's it. So you're searching for a solution online. And they were doing Google AdWords, you know, Google pay-per-click advertising. And we came in and, you know, we worked with them and really focused in on it. And for the first time in a long time, did a refreshed keyword strategy that was different in the different markets that they were operating, and really honed in on the effective ads. For the first time, we were really uncovering, because they were spending quite a bit already, but really uncovering what their spend was giving them. They hadn't really analyzed the metrics. They hadn't really seen. They were doing lots of advertising, just didn't know. So that old adage, you know, 50% of my ads are working. I just don't know which 50%. Well, that's where they were at. And we came in and worked with them on their keyword strategy, got their ads to be much more effective, story branded the website, increased the conversions. And, you know, within a few months, we actually brought down their ad spend by about $50,000 a year. And increased their pay-per-click leads by 79% in quarter over quarter in that first quarter. They had a nice increase in conversions, a nice decrease in their ad spend by simply being more effective. And it's because they had people in there that were good, but they didn't really know, you know, what to look for, the trends to look for, and how to optimize those things. Now, since then, they've gotten a crackerjack guy in there who's doing an amazing job and is really continuing that evolution. But it really, you know, online, you know, we even have horror stories where, you know, if you speaking with Vern actually a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, we were doing an initiative together, and I said, you got to be careful because you can't do this. You'll get blacklisted by Google and you'll be on Google's naughty list. And when you're on Google's naughty list, we have a client that we actually had to rename their website. Like, we couldn't do anything for, because Google essentially shot them down because he did something by mistake, not any malintent at all, but did something that looked like fraud to Google. So they shot him down completely. And it was a case of where somebody knew enough to be dangerous. And this time it was literally true, because he got himself into hot water and couldn't get out of it. But, you know,
it can be very hard to get unstuck if you try to be too clever. I had a dear friend who got shut down by Google.
Yeah.
And his whole business and his whole livelihood was built around his Google marketing. And I don't know, but I don't think that he was doing anything shady. But it looked close enough to something that Google didn't want, and they just shut it down. And then getting somebody there to listen to you, to talk to you, to help clear it up, nearly impossible. So
exactly. And that's so
far too big.
With Homestead, luckily they were not in anything like that, but they didn't do anything that got them on any blacklist, which is good. But they were wasting a lot of money. They were spending money in areas where it did not have a return. It was not producing any results, and they didn't even realize it. That's the challenge.
I think that a lot of people look at their cost per click, but if you're looking at cost per conversion, things change dramatically, right?
And that's really key. So when you talk about digital marketing, that's the way I always put it is that a lot of digital marketing will say, we'll generate more traffic, we'll generate more leads, we'll generate more Facebook likes, whatever, you know, Instagram followers. At the end of the day, the way I put it for Tulip Media, because I can speak for ourselves, I really don't care how many Facebook likes we have. I honestly don't care how much traffic we get to the website last week. It's one of the levers we can pull. But what I care about, and this is what we care with clients, the only thing we care about, how many times we make your phone ring, how many times a contact form is filled out, and how many times we have meetings booked in your salespeople or your production people's calendars from prospects who want to learn more about what you sell. That's it. It's those three things. That's all we care about. And that's what we call conversions. That's the true form of conversions, is when you're actually speaking with someone.
Well, and one of the programs that we've been working on lately is uh, a, around the world, we're launching a new program for training development around scaling up. Yeah. You want to take your leadership team and teach them all of scaling up in 1 year. We've got a program now launching in cities across the world. 26 cities, I think, is our launch. And it's called 20,000 Scale-Ups because our goal is to help 20,000 companies scale up. So we've got programs launching in every city, including my city of San Francisco, and all around from the Middle East, Europe, et cetera, Asia, and so on. And we've been working on the marketing for that program. So there's the link, scalingup.com/20k-scaleups-program. That's the URL. We'll put it's there on the screen if you're watching the video. We'll put it in the show notes and so on. But go there if you want to know more about that particular program that complements all of the work. And we're actually using your work now with some of that to get that program sold out.
Yeah. And just to put a plug in there for you, Bill, because I know you do a lot with the international program. This is an awesome program, and I'm so excited about it because I went through Birthing of Giants and MIT, and the way I put it, for anyone familiar with Birthing of Giants or EMP as it's called now, this is bringing EMP to your town so your entire leadership team can come out for it. So I'm super passionate about this program.
It's not just the CEO going through it. You can get your whole
CEO. The leadership team goes through it so that you can implement it together and you'll get so much further than we did when we went through Birthing of Giants.
And it's very much like, look, as a coach, scaling up has certain promises to it. But as a coach, my job is to make scaling up easier, faster, and more fun. Yeah. And that's what I focus on. And this definitely hits all three of those things. So anyway, there's the program, 20,000 Scale Ups. Yeah. So we've covered a lot of things. I want to give folks the link to the book. The book, Double Sales, Zero Sales People. If you want to reach out to Andy, you'll do it. Andy@CarlyVentures.com. That's the email.
That works, or TulipMedia.com, TulipMediaGroup.com. Yeah. And Bill, if I can, we've got a site or a page where people can go and get it, download a free chapter out of the book. They can order the book from, or, talk to one of us. And it is, if they go to tm.media/doublesales. So tm.media/doublesales.
Dot media/doublesales. Double sales. Yeah. All right.
You've got all the cool gadgets.
There you go. Is that it?
That's perfect.
Yeah, look at that. I did that on the fly.
So yeah, there you can download a free chapter, buy the book, or if you want to speak to one of us, no obligation. We're always open. There's a Calendly link to make it easy and efficient, right? So it's automated. Yeah. The other thing too is we're just rolling out. We're so confident with the program that if a company is interested, they can apply for and be accepted because we need to feel that we can make a difference. But we have a 90-day guarantee, full money back, 90-day guarantee program where if we don't hit the growth objectives or don't hit those conversions that you want to achieve, then we'll give all the money back. And so it's a no-risk opportunity. We don't accept everyone. Just like we don't accept everyone as a client partner, because if we don't feel we can make a difference, we don't want to waste anyone's time. But where we feel we can make a difference, we'll put our money where our mouth is as well.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking with us today. I appreciate all that you've had to share with us. And hopefully our listeners, viewers get some thoughts and insights from all of that. Big thanks to Wanda Mitchell, who gets our show ready, produces it every week for us, and to Vern Harnish, author and creator of the Scaling Up Framework. If you want to know more, our website is scalingcoach.com. Scalingcoach.com is our website. If you want to send us info or ask a question or get some help or find a coach in your area or with your emphasis on something that's of interest to you, some special industry or whatever, contact us info@scalingcoach.com. You'll find us there, as well as all the back catalog, the show notes, things like that from our speakers, our guests, our gurus, that kind of thing. So all that and more, scalingcoach.com and info@scalingcoach.com. Big thanks to Albert Burge and Ayn Kudina and Tim McGowan at Podfly Media, who get our show ready, produced, edited, show notes, and all that posted out each week. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, for watching. Keep scaling up. We'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye now. Yeah.